cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. By the way, this is a COVID-free broadcast. No clot shots and no face diapers on this radio show. Just want to set the record straight. You know, there are actually some radio networks out there, the big corporate guys. And, you know, they actually force their employees to get the clot shot. And a lot of these corporate radio networks actually carry some conservative talk show host, allegedly. But they're forcing their workers to get the shots and to mask up with the face diapers or the face burkas, if you will. It's really unbelievable. So, but not on this radio program. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. And I want to start with a comment from Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. We've got so much information to share with you about Joe Biden and the Biden crime syndicate, and it's sort of unraveling. Congressman Jim Jordan's going to be here in a little while to help us unravel some of the latest developments. But now the National Archives has now identified more than 5,400 records where Joe Biden used that pseudonym, the variation of Peter. And it raises big questions, by the way, about the text messages from Hunter Biden about a family member only known as Pedo Peter, suggesting that maybe it could be that the big guy himself, Joe Biden, could in fact be Pedo Peter. So a lot of things to unravel there. But Marjorie Taylor Greene has raised a very interesting point. She was on a news program this morning that was not Fox News, and she said, hey, we've got to get to the bottom of all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, to date, are you aware that to date, not a single member of the Biden administration has been impeached? Not a one. And how long have the Republicans been in charge of the House of Representatives? Not a single person. Alejandro Mayorkas, Merrick Garland, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, nobody has faced an impeachment inquiry. Cut number 22.
With that in mind, and again, going to what you were just talking about with David, you introduced articles of impeachment on day one since Biden took office. What is the holdup? Because I feel like, you know, and we said this last time you were on the show, how much more evidence do we need to make this happen?
I can't comprehend that we need any more evidence. We have so much. Let's talk about what an impeachment inquiry is, Miranda. Thank you for bringing that up. An impeachment inquiry is just asking the question. We're just asking members of Congress, do you think we should inquire about impeachment? It's not saying, do you want to impeach? It's saying, should we just ask the question? And at this point right now, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with Republicans that we can't just, hey, guys, maybe ask the question. Maybe we should just ask and think about it and look at it and investigate in a much broader way and with more subpoena power. Just ask the question. So I'm at home at my house in Rome. I've been at home hanging out with all of the great, wonderful, normal normal people that actually have a brain and have common sense and are asking me every day, Marjorie, when is Congress going to move on with this impeachment inquiry? And I can't comprehend we haven't done it yet.
Congresswoman, we're running short on time, but just real quick, that leaves the decision to Kevin McCarthy ultimately. Are you confident he's going to go with the impeachment inquiry this fall in September?
I am confident, and the reason why I'm confident is we had a House GOP call yesterday, and that was his big push on the call. So I think if we were to have the vote today right now, Kevin McCarthy would be one of the first ones to vote yes. So it's not our speaker. It's still some of these few remaining Republicans that maybe won a Biden district or they, for whatever reason, I don't know. But I think that our conference is coming together and we should be voting on this in September. If we don't, I'm you're going to see the Marjorie Taylor Greene you've always known because I will not be able to take
heads will roll. Heads will roll.
So wait a second here. Who's actually running the House of Representatives? Is it Kevin McCarthy, yes or no? Because what MTG just told us is that Kevin McCarthy's not in control of his own party. He says there are people out there. She says there are people out there that are stopping McCarthy. Who are these people? Let's name the names. Let's get them all out there, right? But the broader issue is that MTG just told us that Kevin McCarthy is not as powerful as we think he is. That Kevin McCarthy has no control over the House of Representatives, and here this man is the Speaker of the House. But let me say this, and by the way, I don't believe that. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is giving cover for Kevin McCarthy here. I think it's Kevin McCarthy that doesn't want to impeach Joe Biden. They're terrified that if they go down the impeachment path, it will cost them votes in the election in 2024. That's what they're terrified about. But I will say this. If we're at the 2024 election and Merrick Garland, Joe Biden, Alejandro Mayorkas, if you go down that list and none of those individuals have been impeached, I think the Republicans are going to get booted. I truly do. I think that the Republican voters of America will be so disgusted that they will not give the Republicans another majority in the House. We have given them an opportunity to right wrongs. And they haven't even, folks, just think about this. They have not even defunded the FBI. What are they waiting for? What are they waiting for? You know what they're doing? They're wasting our tax dollars on these never-ending hearings. That's what they're doing. So it's time to either poop or get off the pot. Let's get a move on. They either have the goods or they don't. I mean, we've been talking about this for years on the radio show, and here we are once again, and the Republicans are botching it. They're waffling. They're taking a pass. Meanwhile, you've got all this information coming out that clearly shows where the Biden family crime syndicate, where they have been going and what they've been up to. According to Breitbart, Wendell Hughesbo is the writer. The National Archives possess 5,400 emails and records linked to Biden's email aliases, including Robert Peters, Robin Ware, and J.R.B. Ware. And they were used to share government information and discuss business with Hunter Biden and associates, which, by the way, Biden says he never did. He said he was a mile away from all of that, which we all know is not true. It's not true. According to the Southeastern Legal Foundation, this is nothing more than an abuse of power. And look, they're absolutely right. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer in August requested the archives hand over all documents and communications in which then Vice President Joe Biden used pseudonyms such as Robert Peters, Robin Ware, and J.R.B. Ware. Joe Biden says there was an absolute wall between his family's foreign business schemes and his duties as VP. But clearly, Biden was using his position as vice president to fill up the family bank accounts. And the National Archives have to provide all of the unredacted records. They've got to do it, folks. They've got to turn over all this information. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin telling Breitbart News, "I've been suspicious ever since my office uncovered this fact back in 2021 We've got no response from the White House. We've sent four letters, and they have not responded. It is incredibly worrisome that Joe Biden continues to evade our oversight efforts surrounding his corruption. Now you understand why they did not shoot down the Chinese spy balloon as it crossed over the United States of America and took photographs of some of our most sensitive military installations. Now do you understand why they did that? I mean, geez, hello. So the question now, and I go back to what MTG said, what's going on here? Why the heck are we not doing anything? And I'm telling you, if the Republicans, if they botch this, it's over. I don't think the American people are going to be willing to give the Republicans another chance. I really don't. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to take your calls on this. Head over to ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of great resources for you there, including our free newsletter and also the awesome podcast. We'd love for you to download that. We'll be right back, America. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Hey, let's go to the phones. Hendersonville, North Carolina. Joe, listening to us on WHKP. You get to start us off today. Joe, what's on your mind?
I hope you're doing well today, and it's good to be on your front porch.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
I am, like you, and very frustrated with these Republicans. I don't know how much more evidence they need to be able to do anything, and it frustrates me that every time you have one on your show, you come out and ask them directly, is anybody going to be held accountable, anybody held responsible? And their response is always, well, look, Todd, here's the evidence, and they go through everything we already know. They impeached President Trump over a phone call, and we have all this evidence, and they do nothing, nothing, nothing. And it's very frustrating, probably not only to me, but many Americans. And I just wonder, are you going to do anything that we voted you in to do, or just twiddle your thumbs?
It's a great question, Joe. And again, I just look, they may come to us and say, you know what, guys, we investigated this, and it sure looks and it smells and there's smoke, but that we turned out there was nothing there, and we want to apologize for wasting your tax money. Look, I'm not that I'm okay with that, but at least they're being honest with us. But they're just right. They keep dropping the ball, and this goes all the way back to Donald Trump's time in office, the first 2 years when the Republicans controlled everything.
Well, and that's the frustrating part. When you have control, you should do something about it. Because the Democrats definitely do, and we need the Republicans to do the same thing. I mean, if there's nothing there, there's nothing there, but it sure seems like there's an awful amount of evidence to be able to do something.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Joe, appreciate that call. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Todd. Todd, I'm just bewildered as you are and so many other people about why Republicans done anything. I mean, like the previous caller just said, you know, we have all this evidence. We've got actual whistleblowers, you know, audio recordings, confession by Joe Biden, and nothing is being done. And I just can't tell you how disappointed I am that they're not doing anything. But I tell you what I think maybe needs to get them moving. You know, Donald Trump put out something on Truth Social the other day where he implored the Republicans either start an impeachment inquiry or fade into oblivion. I think he needs to add to that and say, if you don't start an impeachment inquiry, I'm encouraging every single Republican voter out there and donor not to make one political contribution to the Republican Party until you start putting your money where your mouth is. Maybe that'll get their attention.
Maybe.
Aside from that, yeah.
Charles, I'm with you, and I know I have personally done that, not giving any more money to the Republican Party until they get their act together. And I'm tired of it. I'm just absolutely tired of squandering money. So that's a great thought there. Charles, appreciate that call. I want to play some audio. Joe Biden talking about the greatest threat. You know, we had that horrible shooting at UNC Chapel Hill and then in Jacksonville. Now, the UNC story is going to fade from the national discussion. And the reason why is because the gunman in that case was Asian American. So it doesn't fit the narrative that the media is going for. So they'll forget about that. But they are focusing on the Jacksonville case, which was a horrible incident, a horrible tragedy, where you had a white domestic terrorist gunning down black people because of the color of their skin. I mean, it's horrible. And then the guy, the coward, killed himself. And so now everybody's using this to say, oh, well, this is Ron DeSantis' fault, and they're blaming Ron DeSantis. They're saying that America is a racist nation, and, well, here's what Biden said.
To the point where the intelligence community is determined, the U.S. intelligence community is determined that domestic terrorism rooted in white supremacy is the greatest terrorist threat we face in the homeland, the greatest threat.
It's simply not true. The man is lying. Now, I'm fairly certain Biden doesn't know what in the world he's talking about here. He's clueless. So somebody is writing all of this for him, and they're lying. So there are a lot of liars that are employed in the White House right now. So I went and pulled up the FBI crime stats, and I want to share this information with you because it's important. And this in no way diminishes what happened in Jacksonville, Florida, at all. But the idea that white supremacy is the greatest threat to national security is simply ludicrous. Now, according to the FBI, and they did an expanded study on homicides, and they determined the race of the victim, and then they determined who the perpetrator, the race of the perpetrator, right? All right, here we go. So according to these stats, and we're going to go through some of the years. This is just 2016, all right? This is the crime stats from 2016. So when the race of the victim was, let's say, a black person was killed, the person responsible was a black person. So out of 2,800, and they did a study, out of 2,870 black people who were murdered, 2,570 of them were murdered by a black person. On the other hand, the white folks, you had 3,499 white people that were murdered. Of those, 2,800 were murdered by a white person. So what I'm trying to say here is that by and large, white people are not going out there and killing blacks and vice versa. Typically, if you're a white person, you're going to be killed by a white person. If you're a black person, you're going to get killed by a black person. That's the data coming from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, folks. So you can't buy in to this nonsense that they're spewing, and it's dangerous nonsense. Barack Hussein Obama did the same thing. By the way, have you heard the latest about Barack Hussein Obama? Now, this is a doozy. And I know I'm getting off on a tangent here. We got to take a break. But you remember the chef, the private chef, a guy by the name of Tafari Campbell. He was the chef. He drowned, right? So he was over at Martha's Vineyard. There's a lot. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking at all. They're ruling the death was an accident. But now we're getting some new intel. And it turns out this chef was found, his body was found, and he was not wearing any clothes. Now, I just want to throw this out there, and I'm not a big paddle boarder, so I don't know. I see them in the one of the local beautiful parks here in Memphis, Tennessee, and everybody I see paddle boarding is fully clothed. I don't know. Maybe there is some sort of, I don't know, a club or a subculture of paddle boarders that they paddle their little boats buck naked. I don't know. But I find it very curious to know why this guy was paddling butt naked. And where was Obama? Nobody's talking about that. And by the way, why was Obama's security team the one who called 911? Inquiring minds would like to know. We'll be right back. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. Let's head over to Chattanooga, Tennessee today. Our good buddy Mike from Nooga Radio hanging out with us. Hey, Mike, how's it going out there in East Tennessee?
It's going great, Todd. You sound awesome as usual. The Republican Party is a uniparty. They've combined with the Democrats to steal billions, if not trillions, from the American public and redistribute their wealth. They, you know, I ask them, you know, and for some reason I can't get a Republican answer to this, is what defines you from a Democrat, other than the fact that you pretend to be for not killing unborn babies, and you pretend to be for lower taxes. But it doesn't surprise me, because that's who they are. They hate Donald Trump because he will uncover who they really are. And most of them, 80% of them, are just worthless. I mean, it doesn't surprise. I mean, really, what is the difference between a Republican and a Democrat? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you the answer to that question. The Democrats are at least honest with you. They'll tell you what they're going to do. I mean, it's insane what they want to do, but at least they're honest about it.
They will telegraph it. You know, I was, over the years, I talked to Republicans and going, you like police, right? You're all for law enforcement. Yeah. So while the cops writing the ticket in front of the abortion clinic where they're murdering unborn children, you're doing nothing. Well, what do you mean? The Supreme Court, I said, don't give me this baloney. You pass statutes knowing the Supreme Court is going to rule it unconstitutional because it's void for vagueness, so you can say to your constituents you're pro-life. And Todd, I've told them for years, you know what would stop? It's so simple to stop. I know we're not on the
yeah. I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, because but
just let me tell you.
Finish your thought.
14th Amendment or unborn, all persons born or unborn are guaranteed equal protection. You add two words to the 14th Amendment. I've been saying this for 40 years, and abortion stops. But you can't get the so-called concern. I'm more angry at the Republicans than the Democrats, because at least we know they're a bunch of commies. But don't pretend to be something you're not. They hate Donald Trump. You know, talk radio. I mean, look at the great Rush Limbaugh. I mean, he was an entertainer, but all he did was kiss the butts of Republicans. He didn't talk about the Federal Reserve. He didn't talk about real patriot issues. He did nothing to get constitutionalists elected. I always said, you know what? We need 534 nooses. The only good one there was Ron Paul. That's it. The rest were worthless. And they're not going to back Donald Trump because they hate him. We need a third party. I think Trump, if he decided to launch a third party, I'll tell you, Todd, it would be 100 million strong in a month.
You see, I think that probably was the way to go. I mean, look, he's going to be the nominee, but I would have loved to have seen that, because I'm not sure the Republican Party is salvageable. You know, I'm looking at that lineup at the debate. I don't see a leader there. I don't see a one.
No, know, ever since Ronald Reagan, I mean, look at Bush. People don't understand. The Democrats controlled the media until Reagan got elected. You couldn't change formats on your radio station without permission from the federal government. They controlled, oh, bring back Walter Cronkite. He was a liberal. Peter Jennings, they're all a bunch of liberals.
And Canadian.
Oh, that's even worse.
Just want to throw that out.
We need it.
Mike, let me say this.
We need a fence for Canadian, too.
Well, there you go. Let me say this. There's a lot of controversy over this poor guy, Oliver Anthony. He's wrote the song Rich Men North of Richmond. And a lot of the conservatives now are starting to throw him under the bus because they're thinking, oh, wait a second, this guy may be something that he's not. Well, you should have listened to the lyrics. I mean, I knew where he was coming from right away. You know, this guy's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. I think he's just a really fed up American citizen. And he said what a lot of people are thinking, and the Republicans need to be very careful. If they go back to their Chamber of Commerce, big business roots, and forget about the working man, they're going to screw up this party.
Oh, yeah, because big business, I call them corporate communists, because they do what government decrees they should do that government can't do because they're restricted by the law. So the corporations implement these systems, or you're fired. Yeah. Now, I can tell you, you want to know what a real Republican is, and I joined Young Americans for Freedom at 13 years old. It's called the Sharon Statement, drafted by Ronald Reagan in 1964. You read that Sharon Statement, and you'll know what a real Republican should be.
Well, that was and that was actually drafted by William F. Buckley Jr. at his home.
Yeah, it was Buckley Jr.
Sharon, Connecticut. And you're right. That's if you want to know, go and read his book, God and Man at Yale, and you will understand the fight that we are fighting right now. You see, Ronald Reagan, he read that book, and he and William F. Buckley were very close, and they understood that every fight we are dealing with has its roots in Christianity, including the fight over communism, which was a religious battle. And only a very few people actually understood that. And they were able to effectively fight and tear down the walls, you know, as a result of that. Mike got to run. Good talk as always. But Mike is right, folks. We have people out there who think they're conservatives, but they have no idea what conservatism is. By the way, Rush Limbaugh was a student of William F. Buckley as well back in the day. And we are, too. That's one of the reasons why we're big fans of Young America's Foundation. And we want to make sure that they stay rooted to the foundational beliefs of the man who founded that organization. Unbelievable. I want to play some audio for you. This is from Colorado, the Vanguard School. A 12-year-old boy, we got the video up on our website. I'd encourage you to go and look at it. A 12-year-old boy showed up to school. This young man, very well dressed, it's a charter school, so he's wearing a dress shirt and dress pants. He has a backpack, and on the backpack is a Gadsden flag patch. Don't tread on me. It's the Gadsden flag. And the young man, 12 years old, he was kicked out of class for having the Gadsden flag patch on his backpack. And he was told that the flag was offensive because it had its origins in slavery, which is completely bonkers stupid. So the mom scheduled a meeting, and it looks like she's got a little tiny baby because she filmed all of this. You can see the little baby's legs kicking out every now and again. And so she went to a meeting with the teacher and her son, and I want you to hear this. It's just unbelievable that this child has been punished for having a Gadsden flag. Cut 19.
Oh, thank you. Do they know what the Gadsden flag is? That it's a historical flag? So the reason that they do not want the flag, the reason we do not want the flag displayed, is due to its origins with the Revolution, slavery and slave trade. That is what was... That's the reasoning behind them, not necessarily.
The Gadsden flag.
The don't tread on me.
Okay. Which is the Gadsden flag.
Okay. Okay, so he's what's going to happen if he doesn't take it off?
He is able to go. I was actually just telling him, like, I was upset that he was missing so much school. I'm like, so I asked if can he just take his stuff out of his bag and go back to class? Like, I just want him to go back to class. The bag can't go back. It's got a patch on it because we can't have that in and around other kids. So that's what I was trying to, and then he said you were close. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with slavery. That's like the Revolutionary War patch that was displayed when they were fighting the British. Like, that wasn't, that's the revolution. Maybe you're thinking of like the Confederate Confederate flag.
Okay, I am just here to enforce. I am here to enforce the policy that was provided by the district.
Okay.
And definitely, you have every right to not agree with it. I mean,
ACLU says that he's allowed to wear that. If you like go on their website, it like says in big letters.
All I'm saying is that
unless there's like a ban on patches, period. Like if you said there's no patches allowed at the school, you cannot display what you think or anything like that, or what cheer or anything like that. I think it's like one-sided, you know, because you allow some patches but not other patches.
Other kids have patches like other names, and like the American flag on their backpacks.
Yeah, that was like flown during the revolution with. I just don't understand that at all.
So what I can do is,
and if you go onto the ACLU's website, let's talk to someone.
I can have you speak to our Jeff Yoakum again.
Okay.
And then he can refer you to our person at the district.
Okay.
Because, like I said, we're following district policy is what we're doing.
Okay.
So. The last thing I want is him out of class.
Yeah, I know, like, me too. He takes his classes seriously.
Yes.
He studies. He wants to get straight A's. He did that. He made honor roll when he was here before.
Yep.
He intends to do that again right now, but it's hard because he keeps missing class for this. So
I understand that.
Yeah, and I mean, we teach him to always stick up for your beliefs. And, I mean, you're going over the revolution for seventh grade. I mean, the Founding Fathers stood up for what they believed in against unjust laws. This is unjust.
Okay. Like I said, we are upholding a policy that was provided to us, which we have to uphold.
Okay. Can you show me where the policy...
And so it goes on and on and on here, folks. And clearly, this mom is not being confrontational. She's being very reasonable, and she's trying to explain to this teacher, who clearly is a moron, that this is a flag that was promoting freedom and liberty. This was a flag that was flown during the Revolutionary War. The Continental Marines flew the flag. And this moron teacher, you know what needs to happen here? A couple of things need to happen. First of all, the teacher needs to be fired. And anybody else who did not have the brain function necessary to realize that the Don't Tread on Me flag is a patriotic, historical American flag, they need to go. They don't need to be educating our kids. Clearly, they need to go back to school. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to say the 12-year-old is probably smarter than most of the teachers in that charter school. This is unbelievable. So now the governor of Colorado is getting involved. And this is a shocker. Even the gay Democrat governor of Colorado says you people are nuts. The governor just a few moments ago tweeting this. Obviously, the Gadsden flag is a proud symbol of the American Revolution and an iconic warning to Britain or any government not to violate the liberties of Americans. It appears on popular American medallions and challenge coins. And Ben Franklin adopted it to symbolize the union of the 13 colonies. It's a great teaching moment for a history lesson. Yes and no, Governor. The fact that you've got teachers who are that stupid, that's a problem. And the teacher's got to go. The teacher just has to go. But my question to you is this, ladies and gentlemen. You've got a child. Your child is wearing that patch. And they're told to either take it off or you have to stuff your backpack in a locker. What do you tell your kid? Did the mom do the right thing here? She told her son to stand up for what he believed in. And by the way, it seems to me that it was done in a very respectful manner. So the only issue here is not behavior. It's the fact that he was wearing a Don't Tread on Me patch on his backpack. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Seems to me the mom ought to take the kid. Well, the kid can't go back to class. As it stands right now, the kid cannot go back to class. So before the show, I personally called and emailed the school asking them for some comment, and they have yet to respond. And when they do, I will let you know. But I'm telling you, folks, the looks like the only option many of us now have is to homeschool the kids. We'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
All right, hurricane warnings going up across the state of Florida. Looks like the Big Bend is going to take a direct hit from this storm, Hurricane Idalia. And the Apalachee Bay looks like that's where the storm will move inland. They have never had a major hurricane enter the Apalachee Bay. A lot of concern about the storm surge. Could be about 12 feet high. And right now that storm is growing. 85 mile an hour winds is what we're being told. And right now, and it's going to get even worse. That's a Category 1 storm. They're expecting possibly a Category 3. So anyway, we'll be keeping an eye on it, and we'll give you an update. A lot of listeners down in that part of the country. All right, let's go to the phones here. Joe in Arkansas, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well,
just
thank
real
you.
Quick on the gas. Yeah, good. Real quick on the Gadsden flag thing. I listened to what you were talking about, the story out in Colorado, but I just read an article in the American Military News magazine that an internal FBI document leaked, it's been a couple weeks ago, so Tuesday's not correct, that the Betsy Ross American flag and the Gadsden flag, Do Not Tread on Me flag, are symbols of Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms and other imagery involved with militant, violent extremists in America. That's our federal government.
And Joe, again, yet another reason why we have to eradicate the FBI, defund and dismantle.
Yep.
And this goes.
I thought I'd share that with
no,
you.
No, I'm glad. I'm glad you did, Joe. And it reminds me, our team pulled up a story from 2021, where they were labeling those kinds of flags as symbols of hate groups. Well, you know, a symbol can look. You can call anything a symbol of a hate group. I mean, give me a break. We're talking about historical flags here. Joe, appreciate that call. Let's go to Orlando, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Orlando. You got about 90 seconds here.
All right. Well, I'm going to be real quick, Mr. Todd. People need to go back and watch that movie called Gone with the Wind, and they would understand that the Canadians were the ones that actually freed the slaves. The gentleman last Friday that talked, you know, out of Atlanta, Georgia, he made all those comments, but I'd like to see him go into Canada and say that same stuff when they were the ones that actually helped. Here in the United States, they sent the black men there to fight the war when the Canadians was actually snatching the black man up and say, hey, go into Canada. You don't have to go back and be a slave anymore. People need to do their research on stuff like that, Todd. And know what they're talking about. And, you know, at the same time, they need to have people need to fly that flag to show that they are not in a racist area.
It's a great
that's my comment.
It's a great point, Orlando. But we are so hell-bent these days on just blowing up our own history and forgetting about our own history that people just don't care. By the way, and this is a good reminder, Orlando, thank you for the call. If you go outside the FBI headquarters, they actually display the American flag, the stars and stripes. And what I find fascinating, if you walk by the FBI headquarters, you will notice that there are a number of variations of the American flag, one of them being the very flag they consider to be a symbol of a hate group, the Betsy Ross flag, 13 stars, designed by George Washington and Betsy Ross. So again, even the FBI, folks, do not even get me started. Dismantle and defund the FBI. How difficult is that for the House of Representatives? How difficult is that for them to do? All right, coming up, we're going to be talking to Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Also, Spencer Lindquist, a field reporter for the Daily Wire, has a bonkers story about NASCAR. We're going to tell you about that. And also, Walker Wildman from American Family Association. He's going to be talking 2024 politics. Stick around, folks. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're broadcasting on more than 140 radio stations around the nation, and so glad that you have made us your choice noon to 3 Eastern. I hope you're doing good out there. We are keeping a close watch on the big hurricane. It could be, Adelia could be a Cat 3 storm by the time it hits the Big Bend area of Florida. So folks in Tallahassee and parts beyond are getting ready for that. And we'll have an update on the big storm for you a little bit later on this hour of the program. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us a good friend of the program. He is the Vice President of Operations for American Family Association, and we are huge AFA fans on this program, Walker Wildman. Walker, how are you?
Hey, Todd. Good to be back on your show. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back on.
Well, it has. Well, you're highfalutin now that you're a vice president. I mean, you know, you've got people now, and, you know, it's you're a big deal.
Well, I'm gonna give you my wife's number, and you can call her and tell her that I'm a big deal.
Absolutely, I'll do that. No, we appreciate the great work that not only AFA but your family has done for this country, and you guys ought to be getting Medal of Freedom awards. You know, the work of your grandfather and your dad, and we can't say it enough how much we appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Todd. And you've got as much skin in this game as we do. And we've got a country that we got to save. We've got Marxists that want to take it over. And we're here to be good stewards of the country that our children are going to grow up in. So, yeah, we're all in this fight together. We all play a different role in the fight, but we're all here to make sure that there's an America in 50 or 100 years that our children and grandchildren can live up in.
AFA.net is the website, folks. That's AFA.net. And go and check out all the great resources they had there, and also opportunities for you to help out our friends over at American Family Association. Before we jump into it, Walker, some breaking news to share. This coming out of Miami. The mayor, Francis Suarez, has now officially become the first Republican to drop out of the presidential race. And I'm quite frankly, I'm not sure he was really that into the race, but he is the first one to say it's been a lot of fun, but I'm spending more time with my wife and kids. So
yeah,
there you go.
That's really not surprising to your point. He never really took off in the polls. I'm not even sure he was polling over 1%. But there were some questions about some Chinese firms donating to his campaign. I know he was all in on the homosexual agenda with the log cabin Republicans and the like. So there were some red flags on him from the very early days of the campaign from a Christian conservative standpoint. So not much of a loss there. And you could probably say that there are others that should drop out too. I mean, if you're not polling over 1 or 2%, you shouldn't be in the race, and we're really wasting everybody's time. You know, so hopefully we'll see the field dwindle down more in the months ahead.
Walker, it was fascinating to see the polling coming out of the first debate. Reuters out saying no DeSantis bounce from the debate. However, Emerson College did give him just a few more points, and Trump dropped about 6 points. The biggest gainers out of that debate turned out to be Mike Pence and Nikki Haley. And I'm curious to know from you, I mean, you guys have the finger on the pulse of the evangelicals. What are people saying, and where do you think their votes are going to go in the primary?
Well, I think Pence has probably capped out. I mean, the former vice president has been around this game for a long time, so you would think that he would be doing better, but I just don't think he has the energy, and I don't think he has the fight that a Trump or a DeSantis or maybe some others have. So I think that's what's keeping Pence back, although he was a little more aggressive at this last debate, which I thought was better for him to be a little more aggressive,
agreed,
which he was. But when you look at the others, you know, Haley said some good things, but her record is not one of America First. I mean, her record's just not there for being an America First a Republican. She's more of an establishment type, go along to get along type. And she gave some terrible answers on abortion. So she made some good points and then some bad points. DeSantis, I'll be honest, you know, I like the governor. I think he's been a great fighter for conservative values, but his debate performance just wasn't there. He looked stiff. He kept looking down at his notes. And I even passed this message on to people who know the campaign that it just wasn't, he can do better. So I don't think the debate necessarily helped him. I think the only reason Trump dropped in those few polls that you mentioned is just because he wasn't there.
Right.
You know, people were just tied up in who was at the debate and what did you think about it. And Trump just wasn't on the stage. So naturally, you're going to get some distraction there. But here's what I'm concerned about, Todd. This is going to play itself out. It always does. It happened last cycle with the Republican primary. You know, we have a food fight. And then at the end, we all figure out how we're going to beat the Marxists. So that's going to happen. The one thing that I think needs to be in the discussion is, what is our plan B? Not that we want a plan B, or that we wish there's a plan B that has to take place. I'm talking about, if they succeed on any of these counts, these fraudulent counts against Trump, what is our plan B? And that's my concern, is right now nobody's talking about plan B, but we've got to have one, because the left always has a plan B.
Now, that is a fair question, and to that point, Axios has a report out, another poll suggesting President Trump could lose half of Republican voters if he is convicted. I don't know if it's going to be that many, but I know he's already got a problem with the establishment wing of the party, and they're not going to vote for the guy anyway. They want him gone, and if that means losing another presidential election, you know, then so be it.
Yeah. I said on my show the other day, this is an all or nothing. We have to win this, because if we don't, then the left's attempts, or their current utilization of our law enforcement agencies to lock up their political opponent, if we lose 2024, their plans succeed. Because whether we like it or not, I believe that they are going to find him guilty of some of these counts. I don't know how many. It may be only a handful. But with these juries and in these Democrat strongholds of D.C. and New York, they're going to find him guilty. Now, what that looks like, does he serve any time? I have no idea. Probably not. But nonetheless, I think we've got to have a plan B, because if for some reason they tie Trump up in this legal sphere of trials and hearings and all this stuff, we've got to have somebody else that can, number one, pardon him for the federal offenses and then fight back against the deep state. So I know from an ego standpoint that Trump's not going to say, you know, I'll hang it up, DeSantis, you can have it. That's just not going to happen, practically speaking. But we've got to have, even the Trump camp needs to be thinking about plan B. Should they tie Trump up with whatever's going on with this legal fight, we've got to have a plan B, because if not, it's Biden or Harris or Newsom in 2025, and then we've got another 4 years of this garbage, and then there's no executive branch power to help Trump in whatever kind of unjust acts they're doing against him.
Walker Wildman is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today from American Family Association. You know, my concern there is plan B. Is DeSantis plan B? I mean, he is, his polling numbers are so low. And I throw all this a lot. You know, I heard Ed Rollins, the great political pundit and operative, was working with a pro DeSantis PAC. He dropped Trump, and he said, that's it, we're done. He blames all of this on DeSantis. I think it's his campaign staff, and I just think they have really screwed this up for him. And they did not let DeSantis be DeSantis. Or, I mean, this may be DeSantis. I don't know. But they've got to figure this out. He should not be polling this bad.
Yeah. No, he shouldn't be, especially as popular as he was in Florida and as he still is in Florida. I don't know what's going on there. I think it's a combination of everything. You know, some people do better on a certain stage, and then they get on another stage and they just don't do as good. I think his campaign's definitely been way too – we've been trying to get meetings with him and other candidates, not just him, but we've been trying to get meetings with him, and we just can't seem to get through. And it's like, come on, guys, like, y'all need this. Like, y'all need to be talking to evangelicals. I don't know. Could have been his campaign manager. I don't know. But clearly whatever they're doing is not working, because he's only going down in the polls. But I think the governor himself is a good person. I think he's a fighter. I think he's a genuine believer in the cause. So, you know, but we could have seen this coming, Todd. I mean, we saw this happen with Cruz. As much as some of us didn't like it, it happened. Trump is the leader of the Republican Party. He takes the oxygen out of the room. Nobody can hang with him. They just can't. As much as some people might want, you know, DeSantis or someone else to hang with Trump, I mean, Trump just is the dominant personality in the field. So with that being said, we've got to work with what we've got. But right now we're at a point, Todd, where there has to be other options out here. This is not a bash Trump, throw Trump under the bus. You know, I don't care if he gets locked up. I'm just saying, for the sake of Trump and everybody, we've got to have a couple options here. And maybe Trump's plan A, but maybe somebody else or some other strategy is plan B. But I just know the way this is working, they're trying to hold up all these trials until after the primary. So Trump gets the nomination, theoretically speaking, Trump gets the nomination, and then you've got secretaries of state in these blue states that are saying, well, no, Trump can't be on the ballot because he's a felon or he's this or he's that. And then we're litigating whether Trump can even be on the ballot in November of 2024, which is not talking about inflation. It's not talking about Biden. It's not talking about the border crisis. We're talking about whether you can even vote for Donald J. Trump in November of 2024 in Arizona, Minnesota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Well, so we've got a whole lot of stuff going on here that has really nothing to do with the primary cause of 2024, which is Biden is a disaster.
And to that point, they're already having that battle right now in New Hampshire, where there is a raging debate over whether or not Trump should appear on the 2024 ballot. That will happen in blue states as well. So I'm with you there. You know, I go back, Walker, to 2016. And to your point, my guy was Rick Perry. I just think he would have made a great president, but the man could not debate. It was brutal. And you know, it and then I became a Cruz guy. But ultimately, I'm going to back the candidate. Whoever gets the nomination, they get my support.
Yeah, and let me just say this one more thing, Todd, to your point. And what I'm saying here, folks, I don't want people to take this. I tell people all the time, I'm probably one of the most unbiased individuals in the room on this topic because I just want what's best for the nation. If it's Trump, I'm going to get behind him 1,000%, and we're going to have a better second term than even the first term, and the first term was pretty darn good. If it's DeSantis, whoever it is, we're going to get behind them for the best interest of the nation and get behind the movement. But we've got the things I'm bringing up are not because I don't like Trump. It's not because I don't like the tweets. It's that we've got to have the discussion about what are we going to do as a movement if the left interrupts these plans and throws all this thing, you know, in a frenzy. We've got to be having those discussions. It doesn't make people a never-Trumper.
No, it's a fair question.
Them, you know, anti-MAGA. It just means that we're thinking about these potential legal issues.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely a fair question to ask. All right, Walker, we're going to leave it there. Good stuff. We're going to get you back. Love your thoughts and opinions on this stuff, and we got a lot of ground to cover between now and primaries.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, Todd, for having me on. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, Walker Wildman, everybody, Vice President of Operations for American Family Association. And by the way, you can read more about Walker at afa.net. I mean, he raises an interesting point because there is going to be a raging battle over whether or not Trump can be on the ballots. In some of these blue states, you better believe the secretaries of states are going to be doing that. All right. Then you have to factor in these trials. And we already know that the good judge up in Washington, D.C., Judge Shankar Khan is already announcing that the trial there is going to start the day before Super Tuesday. So you better believe the Democrats are playing politics and they're not. You know what? They're not wasting any time. They're not wasting any energy trying to cover this up. They're not. They don't want you to think. They don't want you to think it's just a coincidence. They want you to know this is all about politics, and we're going to cram it down your throat. And there's not a blasted thing you Republicans can do about it. And they know they're going to be able to get away with it because the Republicans we've got elected up on Capitol Hill, they're doodling diddly and squat, and they're doing it very well, by the way. They majored in diddly squat in political school. All right, got to take a break here. But Walker raises an interesting point. Do we need a plan B? And if so, what is that plan B? 844-747-8868. Toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
So you are obviously a person of color like we are.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to not be Trump supporters. So what is it about Trump?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. I was talking to my husband about it earlier. And when I really started educating myself and informing myself on Donald Trump, one thing that I'm passionate about is human trafficking, that especially of children. And when I really started digging into it, I saw that Trump also is a huge supporter. He donated recently $35 million to support human trafficked survivors. Yep. That really struck a chord with my heart. And so
amazing.
When I started really looking into him, I'm about action. I'm not about words. Okay.
Yes,
I like the fact that he says what's on his mind. I like the fact that he doesn't say what he thinks people want to hear from him. And to me, I know everything that he's done for the black communities, and I stand behind him.
Beautiful.
100%. I'm not only a Trump supporter, I am a Trump lover. And for the longest time, I've been afraid to come out and say that.
Well, here we go.
Because I didn't want to lose my blackness or my black friends or whatever. But
remember what Joe Biden said, if you vote for Trump, you ain't black.
So wait, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
What an idiot.
What an idiot. It's true. So this is fascinating because we have noticed in the aftermath of the Trump mugshot heard around the world that black support for Donald Trump has exploded. And I'm curious to know why. We probably have one of the largest black audiences in all of talk radio. And I'm curious to know from our audience, why is it that Donald Trump's message is resonating with black Americans? Why is that? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, Biden forgot the name of his Homeland Security Secretary. Cut number 11.
Secretary of Homeland Security, a guy who took the job. Thank you for taking the job, pal.
Yeah, what's your name? Well, no, it's mayo mayonnaise. Alex mayonnaise. He's my homeland. I need a nap. Sir, his name is Alejandro Mayorkas. I named a Mexican to my administration? Really? Sir, no, he's an American, sir. His name is Alejandro Mayorkas. He's your Homeland Security Secretary.
Ice cream. Can I have some ice cream, please? I want some ice cream. Where's my wife? Where is... I need a shower. Where's my daughter?
All right, good to have you back with us, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to direct your attention to our website, toddstearns.com. We have millions of readers every month on the page, and we really appreciate you guys checking out the stories. Our managing editor, Caleb Park, is working hard at it, and you need to sign up for our free newsletter as well as our podcast, which you can download both of those free of charge over at the website, toddstearns.com. All right, there is a story that caught my eye at the Daily Wire. The headline, NASCAR bans white applicants from diversity internship. At NASCAR, ladies and gentlemen, the author of this jaw-dropping story is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, the great Spencer Lindquist. Spencer, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, well, let's jump into this. So NASCAR has an internship program, but they're calling it a diversity internship program. What did you find out about this?
Exactly. So this NASCAR program, it's a summer internship called the Diversity Internship Program. And if you look at the program requirements, the very first one stipulates that you have to be one of several approved races. So they've got African-American, Hispanic or Latino, Asian. It effectively lists all these different racial groups other than white people. So if you are white and you want to apply for this NASCAR scholarship, this NASCAR internship, you're ineligible.
So, and just to be clear, I'm going through the list and I happen to be of the Caucasian persuasion, and someone like me would not be eligible for this program.
Exactly. You wouldn't be eligible, and you wouldn't be eligible because of your race. So I spoke with a legal scholar, a constitutional lawyer named David Bernstein at George Mason University, and he said that this is blatantly illegal. Those are his words. And he said that it violates civil rights law. So clearly we're seeing here that if somebody wanted to apply for this but couldn't, they were rejected on the basis of their race, they would actually have legal standing to sue NASCAR over this racial discrimination.
Spencer, as you were doing an investigative report on this, were you able to get a comment from NASCAR? Were they able to explain what's going on here?
Unfortunately, I wasn't. I didn't get any response from NASCAR, and hopefully we'll get a bit more clarity on it going forwards. But what we do know right now is that this diversity internship program is part of a broader push for DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion at the company. They have what they call Drive for Diversity, and that includes a couple of different race-based mentorship programs, one for people who are in pit crew and another for those who are race car drivers. And these, similarly, are only open to people who come from non-white racial backgrounds or who are women. So that, a bit more specifically, discriminates against white men.
This is shocking. We're talking about NASCAR here. It doesn't get more red, white, and blue, more patriotic than NASCAR. And I think that's what's so shocking about this. What's been the reaction? Your story came out. I'm curious to know the reaction that people have had.
Well, it's definitely made the rounds on Twitter in the last day, and I think people are shocked. We're seeing more and more of these types of cases. This is not the first DEI-related job posting story that I've written. But this one, I think, has been rather shocking to people, maybe just because this isn't an arena where people seem to expect there being this type of DEI enforcement at a place like NASCAR.
Yeah, I was, and again, to your point, this goes far beyond just the internship program. It looks like they have an entire division dedicated for this, what they call Drive for Diversity. Again, applicants have to meet these certain criteria, and the white men need not apply.
Exactly. That's what we saw in both of these development programs for pit crew and for drivers. It states it very openly, which, of course, made reporting on it rather easy, but there wasn't any coded language here. There wasn't any beating around the bush. It was very clear, very direct. It had eligibility requirements, and top of the list was racial and ethnic specifications.
Not the best person to, you know, torque an engine, but we want somebody based on skin color or their gender.
Exactly. Wow. And NASCAR, this is just one example here at NASCAR, but we have recently seen other examples where similar diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that discriminate against people on the basis of their race. This has been found at other companies as well. We recently had an original story here at the Daily Wire that found that Oracle, the Silicon Valley tech giant, had a similar internship program. It was an internship and scholarship program, and it similarly listed these racial requirements, and it didn't allow white applicants or Asian applicants. So this is something that we're seeing at NASCAR and beyond.
Jeez, Alou. This is insane. By the way, Spencer, let me tell you when all this started. So if you do a follow-up, you got to go back in time, and you can Google this. But it was when Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame, he was invited to pray, give the invocation at a NASCAR race. And Spencer, have you ever been to a NASCAR race before?
You know, I haven't. No.
So it's kind of like going to church. So they'll have like a big prayer, and the preacher, when the preacher prays, it's like a sermon. It's not like a little quick prayer, you know, because it's NASCAR. So they invited Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty to pray. And all you know what broke loose, because Phil Robertson, during the prayer, prayed for a Jesus man in the White House. This was when Trump was running. And it created all this controversy. And I'm like, what in the world is going on at NASCAR that a prayer has clearly triggered people? I think that was the beginning of the end. So you can quote me on that if you're going to do a follow-up story.
Perfect. I'll keep that in mind. It's certainly interesting what we've seen with NASCAR. There's obviously been a couple of different issues throughout recent years that have thrust it into the forefront of the culture war, and this is just the latest iteration.
Oh, I see what you did there, thrusting at the. That's a good NASCAR car turn there. Well done, well played. All right, Spencer, we appreciate the great story, folks. We've got a link to Spencer's story on our live show blog. Blatantly illegal NASCAR bans white applicants from diversity internship. Spencer, good work. And we'll get you back on soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. There you go, folks. One of the journalists over there at the Daily Wire. You know, Dieter, just think about it. We've got Ben Dieter hanging out with us again, handling the phones. Be nice to Dieter today. But Dieter, just think about this. All these diversity hires, mm-hmm. You get on board an airplane. And, I mean, you hate to think like this, but you're getting on board an airplane and you take a peek in the cockpit. And you see, I don't know, a Pacific Islander and a woman who used to be a man or something. I don't know. And you're wondering, okay, is that the best and the brightest, or are those diversity hires?
It's a terrible thing to think.
Right.
But we're all thinking it. Aren't you thinking it? I mean, you, Todd, you've said on your show you have lawyers. What if you hire another lawyer, they join the Todd Starnes defense team? I don't know if you need one.
What?
And that lawyer is a diversity hire. The law firm picks them up because they check the right boxes, and say you end up in front of a judge. You better hope that wasn't a diversity hire lawyer. You're going to be behind bars.
I want Johnny Cochran, the late, great Johnny Cochran on my team. If the glove don't fit, you got to acquit. That's who I want.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want the best. You want the most talented, the most capable person, right?
And it could be the Pacific Islander. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just saying it could be. Are you a Pacific Islander?
No.
You're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. No, it's the tan.
Oh, well, that's that. Well, you could identify.
That's right.
See, you could self-identify.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that this is not good. And look, nothing against the ladies out there, but if you're on the pit crew and you got to pick up one of those big old tires, I mean, you know, there's I'm just saying.
First of all, I didn't know you could intern. And Todd, you have some interns. Who knew you could intern at NASCAR? Well, not you, because you're what? But, like, they do have NASCAR interns.
I got to ride in the pace car at the Daytona 500. That was a lot of fun, actually. It'll scare you half to death, but it's a lot of fun.
And I would never get in there.
So there you go. But again, like you're on the table, you're in for open heart surgery, and right before they tell you to breathe in and count backwards from 100, and the doctor leans over and says, "Oh yeah, I flunked out of medical school, but I got a job because, you know, I'm I don't know, French."
You're I don't like, think the French what? Are getting preferential treatment, Todd.
No, I'm trying to behave because I got some blowback from our Italian listeners yesterday.
Oh, I know. I talked to one of them.
It's terrible. I felt so bad.
I know. I picked up the phone. Wait, you can't say that. Anyways, we
I'm
cleared
just
it.
Saying the Italians like to take the very long lunches, right? It's never. I see. I'm stepping into it again.
All right, circle back. No, I get what you're saying. When the doctor's getting ready to tear open your chest to dig into your heart, you don't want them to have got in because they were just a certain hue.
Yeah, I don't want him asking for the turkey baster, right? You want the surgeon to know what they're doing. That's all. They're going to pop you open like a Thanksgiving Day turkey. You'll want somebody who knows what they're doing. At least that's the way it used to be in America. I'm just saying. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Can you believe this? NASCAR now banning white applicants. What does that say for all of you white people out there? You're not going to. So here's my question, Ben Dieter. I have another question. Does this mean, in an effort, again, for inclusivity and for diversity, what about the NBA? Are they going to start banning blacks from interning at the NBA headquarters now? Are they going to open up the floodgates to white people so they can go and become a member of the NBA?
I don't know.
Just throwing that out there.
It's a great question.
Because, again, I don't care about race. All I care about is fueling the best basketball team possible. And so if you're a big fan of the Memphis Grizzlies, you want the best players out there. It doesn't matter what color they are, right? Right? Isn't that what – I don't know. Maybe I'm off.
Be careful, Todd. Your listeners know you identify as LeBron Starnes from time to time.
That's right.
This is your way in.
I'd be one heck of a point guard.
Gosh.
All right. That's – okay. That was over the line. 844-747-8868. You know, Newsmax is conducting an urgent national poll. Did I tell you it's urgent? It's urgent. We want to know, do you like President Trump? Are you still voting for President Trump? We want you to vote right now in the Newsmax poll by texting the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Just takes a minute. Let your voice be heard. Text SKIP to 39747. By the way, we're going to share the results with Congress. We're going to share it on Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Millions of people are making the switch to Newsmax, and you should too. And you can vote now. Text SKIP to 39747. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Quite frankly, what NASCAR needs to do is tell all these little woke people they're hiring to go blow it out their tailpipe. That's what they ought to tell them. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa. Welcome to the program. Jerry, what's on your mind?
I like your Sheryl Crow bumper. That's a neat song. So I'm calling to answer your question about what might be Plan B if the Democrats tie up Donald Trump, or if they steal the White House for another 4 years. Ron DeSantis was here in Iowa at a pizza ranch a couple days ago, and I got to ask him a question, a little bit indelicate question. I asked him if he thought that the Democrats are currently planning their next hoax as we speak, maybe civil unrest or maybe even a civil war, and we're not thinking as far ahead as they are. So, because if they win or steal another election, you know there's going to be mass arrests. I've briefly attended a Marxist revolution. I was in country when it happened, and they'll start from the top down, and they'll go all the way down. And so I think Plan B is, and his answer was interesting, but my Plan B is, I think red states really need to double down on the 10th Amendment like never before. Like, just have, if the federal government starts issuing all sorts of really tyrannical stuff, we need to just, there is a great 10th Amendment movement in the states, by the way. So I think that the Plan B is really the 10th Amendment. Otherwise, there's just going to be, they're going to clear out everybody. I mean, you wouldn't be safe, you know? So they're going to start silence everybody if that happens. So, and by the way, I'm, to answer your poll question, I'm a little bit nervous here.
No need to be nervous. You're doing fine.
I do love the Donald, and I would certainly vote for him, but I am going to caucus for Ron DeSantis in Iowa because he's an Iraq combat veteran. And oh, his answer to my question was that if the Democrats plan anything like more civil unrest or worse, that his answer was basically, go ahead, make my day.
I'm curious, Jerry, what part of the 10th Amendment do you believe we need to be invoking?
The whole fundamental principle of it, the whole idea that the powers not specifically delegated to the federal government are originally rest in the state. So the government, the deep state has gone such far overreach that the social contract is really being broken bad, and the states are just going to have to say, and they already have the power, they just don't know it, that we're just not going to do all the kind of stuff you tell us to do, and we're going to pretty much function on our own and associate with other red states.
You see, I'm not even sure you would have states like Georgia, which are controlled by Republicans. There's no way they would do something like that. Even here in Tennessee, which we have a supermajority of Republicans, I don't even think our governor would be willing to go that far. But my concern is this, though, Jerry, you could have states that will say, well, look, Trump is a convicted criminal. He will not be allowed to be on the ballot. We have rules and regulations, and there's going to be an effort. There will be a movement afoot to try and keep him off the ballot. And that's when I think you're going to have a lot of blowback, and they better think very long and hard about that.
Well, it can get a lot worse. You think it's bad now. So I just think we need to start functioning on our own a lot better than we have been in the past.
All right, Jerry, good call. I appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling in and weighing in. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. If that, and again, I think all bets are off when you get to a point where the states are saying, we're not going to allow your guy on the ballot. Republicans have to stand up, and they've got to fight. They have to stand their ground on that issue. You cannot allow the Beltway to determine who your candidate's going to be, who your nominee's going to be. If Donald Trump is the guy, he's the guy. If Ron DeSantis is the guy, he's the guy. That's all I'm saying here. But I don't think DeSantis is going to be the guy. I don't think he can be the guy. He's got no support out there. Let me ask you something. All you Trump supporters, would you vote for Ron DeSantis? Trump decides, you know what, that's it. I'm gone. I'm done. I've done everything I can possibly do. Is DeSantis your guy? Or is it somebody else? That's what I want to know. All right, we got to take a break here. Again, head over to the website, toddstearns.com. And folks, trust me, you're going to love our podcast. You're going to love our newsletter. We even have an awesome app, and you can actually use that app to phone into the program. It's pretty awesome. Go check that out. Everything available over at toddstearns.com. Hey, Congressman Jim Jordan coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're broadcasting on more than 140 radio stations around the nation, and so glad that you have made us your choice noon to 3 Eastern. Hope you're doing good out there. We are keeping a close watch on the big hurricane. It could be, Adelia could be a Cat 3 storm by the time it hits the Big Bend area of Florida. So folks in Tallahassee and parts beyond are getting ready for that. And we'll have an update on the big storm for you a little bit later on this hour of the program. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us a good friend of the program. He is the Vice President of Operations for American Family Association, and we are huge AFA fans on this program. Walker Wildman. Walker, how are you?
Hey, Todd. Good to be back on your show. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back on.
Well, it has. Well, you're highfalutin now that you're a vice president. I mean, you know, you've got people now, and, you know, it's you're a big deal.
Well, I'm gonna give you my wife's number, and you can call her and tell her that I'm a big deal.
Absolutely, I'll do that. No, we appreciate the great work that not only AFA but your family has done for this country, and you guys ought to be getting Medal of Freedom awards. You know, the work of your grandfather and your dad, and we can't say it enough how much we appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Todd. And you've got as much skin in this game as we do. And we've got a country that we got to save. We've got Marxists that want to take it over. And we're here to be good stewards of the country that our children are going to grow up in. So, yeah, we're all in this fight together. We all play a different role in the fight, but we're all here to make sure that there's an America in 50 or 100 years that our children and grandchildren can live up in.
AFA.net is the website, folks. That's AFA.net. And go and check out all the great resources they have there, and also opportunities for you to help out our friends over at American Family Association. Before we jump into it, Walker, some breaking news to share. This coming out of Miami. The mayor, Francis Suarez, has now officially become the first Republican to drop out of the presidential race. And I'm not sure he was really that into the race, but he is the first one to say, it's been a lot of fun, but I'm spending more time with my wife and kids. So
yeah,
there you go.
That's really not surprising to your point. He never really took off in the polls. I'm not even sure he was polling over 1%. But there were some questions about some Chinese firms donating to his campaign. I know he was all in on the homosexual agenda with the log cabin Republicans and the like. So there were some red flags on him from the very early days of the campaign from a Christian conservative standpoint. So not much of a loss there. And you could probably say that there are others that should drop out too. I mean, if you're not polling over 1 or 2%, you shouldn't be in the race, and we're really wasting everybody's time. You know, so hopefully we'll see the field dwindle down more in the months ahead.
Walker, it was fascinating to see the polling coming out of the first debate. Reuters out saying no DeSantis bounce from the debate. However, Emerson College did give him just a few more points, and Trump dropped about 6 points. The biggest gainers out of that debate turned out to be Mike Pence and Nikki Haley. And I'm curious to know from you, I mean, you guys have the finger on the pulse of the evangelicals. What are people saying, and where do you think their votes are going to go in the primary?
Well, I think Pence has probably capped out. I mean, the former vice president has been around this game for a long time, so you would think that he would be doing better, but I just don't think he has the energy, and I don't think he has the fight that a Trump or a DeSantis or maybe some others have. So I think that's what's keeping Pence back, although he was a little more aggressive at this last debate, which I thought was better for him to be a little more aggressive, which
Agreed.
He was. But when you look at the others, you know, Haley said some good things, but her record is not one of America first. I mean, her record's just not there.
for being an America First a Republican. She's more of an establishment type, go along to get along type. And she gave some terrible answers on abortion. So she made some good points and then some bad points. DeSantis, I'll be honest, you know, I like the governor. I think he's been a great fighter for conservative values, but his debate performance just wasn't there. He looked stiff. He kept looking down at his notes. And I even passed this message on to people who know the campaign that it just wasn't, he can do better. So I don't think the debate necessarily helped him. I think the only reason Trump dropped in that those few polls that you mentioned is just because he wasn't there.
Right.
You know, people were just tied up in who was at the debate and what did you think about it. And Trump just wasn't on the stage. So naturally, you're going to get some distraction there. But here's what I'm concerned about, Todd. This is going to play itself out. It always does. It happened last cycle with the Republican primary. You know, we have a food fight. And then at the end, we all figure out how we're going to beat the Marxists. So that's going to happen. The one thing that I think needs to be in the discussion is what is our plan B? Not that we want a plan B or that we wish there's a plan B that has to take place. I'm talking about if they succeed on any of these counts, these fraudulent counts against Trump, what is our plan B? And that's my concern is right now nobody's talking about plan B, but we've got to have one because the left always has a plan B.
Now, that is a fair question. And to that point, Axios has a report out, another poll suggesting President Trump could lose half of Republican voters if he is convicted. I don't know if it's going to be that many, but I know he's already got a problem with the establishment wing of the party, and they're not going to vote for the guy anyway. They want him gone. And if that means losing another presidential election, you know, then so be it.
Yeah. I said on my show the other day, this is an all or nothing. We have to win this because if we don't, then the left's attempts or their current utilization of our law enforcement agencies to lock up their political opponent. If we lose 2024, their plans succeed because whether we like it or not, I believe that they are going to find him guilty of some of these counts. I don't know how many, it may be only a handful. But with these juries and in these Democrat strongholds of D.C. and New York, they're going to find him guilty. Now, what that looks like, does he serve any time? I have no idea. Probably not. But nonetheless, I think we've got to have a plan B, because if for some reason they tie Trump up in this legal sphere of trials and hearings and all this stuff, we've got to have somebody else that can, number one, pardon him for the federal offenses, and then fight back against the deep state. So I know from an ego standpoint that Trump's not going to say, you know, I'll hang it up, DeSantis, you can have it. That's just not going to happen, practically speaking. But we've got to have, even the Trump camp needs to be thinking about plan B. Should they tie Trump up with whatever's going on with this legal fight, we've got to have a plan B, because if not, it's Biden or Harris or Newsom in 2025, and then we've got another 4 years of this garbage. And then there's no executive branch power to help Trump in whatever kind of unjust acts they're doing against him.
Walker Wildman is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today from American Family Association. You know, my concern there is plan B. Is DeSantis plan B? I mean, his polling numbers are so low. And I throw all this a lot. You know, I heard Ed Rollins, the great political pundit and operative, was working with a pro DeSantis PAC. He dropped Trump, and he said, that's it, we're done. He blames all of this on DeSantis. I think it's his campaign staff, and I just think they have really screwed this up for him, and they did not let DeSantis be DeSantis. Or, I mean, this may be DeSantis, I don't know, but they've got to figure this out. He should not be polling this bad.
Yeah, no, he shouldn't be, especially as popular as he was in Florida and as he still is in Florida. I don't know what's going on there. I think it's a combination of everything. You know, some people do better on a certain stage and then they get on another stage and they just don't do as good. I think his campaign's definitely been way too, we've been trying to get meetings with him and other candidates, not just him, but we've been trying to get meetings with him and we just can't seem to get through. And it's like, come on, guys, like y'all need this. Like y'all need to be talking to evangelicals. And so, I don't know. Could have been his campaign manager. I don't know. But clearly, whatever they're doing is not working because he's only going down in the polls. But I think the governor himself is a good person. I think he's a fighter. I think he's a genuine believer in the cause. So, you know, but we could have seen this coming, Todd. I mean, we saw this happen with Cruz. As much as some of us didn't like it, it happened. Trump is the leader of the Republican Party. He takes the oxygen out of the room. Nobody can hang with him. They just can't. As much as some people might want, you know, DeSantis or someone else to hang with Trump, I mean, Trump just is the dominant personality in the field. So with that being said, we've got to work with what we've got. But right now we're at a point, Todd, where there has to be other options out here. This is not a bash Trump, throw Trump under the bus. You know, I don't care if he gets locked up. I'm just saying, for the sake of Trump and everybody, we've got to have a couple options here. And maybe Trump's plan A, but maybe somebody else or some other strategy is plan B. But I just know the way this is working, they're trying to hold up all these trials until after the primary. So Trump gets the nomination, theoretically speaking, Trump gets the nomination. And then you've got secretaries of state in these blue states that are saying, well, no, Trump can't be on the ballot because he's a felon or he's this or he's that. And then we're litigating whether Trump can even be on the ballot in November of 2024, which is not talking about inflation. It's not talking about Biden. It's not talking about the border crisis. We're talking about whether you can even vote for Donald J. Trump in November of 2024 in Arizona, Minnesota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Well, so we've got a whole lot of stuff going on here that has really nothing to do with the primary cause of 2024, which is Biden is a disaster.
And to that point, they're already having that battle right now in New Hampshire, where there is a raging debate over whether or not Trump should appear on the 2024 ballot. That will happen in blue states as well. So I'm with you there. You know, I go back, yeah. Walker, to 2016. And to your point, my guy was Rick Perry. I just think he would have made a great president. But the man could not debate. It was brutal. And, you know, and then I became a Cruz guy. But ultimately, I'm going to back the candidate. Whoever gets the nomination, they get my support.
Yeah. And let me just say this one more thing, Todd, to your point. And what I'm saying here, folks, I don't want people to take this. I tell people all the time, I'm probably one of the most unbiased individuals in the room on this topic because I just want what's best for the nation. If it's Trump, I'm going to get behind him 1,000%. And we're going to have a better second term than even the first term. And the first term was pretty darn good. If it's DeSantis, whoever it is, we're going to get behind them for the best interest of the nation and get behind the movement. But we've got the things I'm bringing up are not because I don't like Trump. It's not because I don't like the tweets. It's that we've got to have the discussion about what are we going to do as a movement if the left interrupts these plans and throws all this thing, you know, in a frenzy. We've got to be having those discussions. It doesn't make people an ever-Trumper.
No, it's a fair question.
Them, you know, anti-MAGA. It just means that we're thinking about these potential legal issues.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely fair question to ask. All right, Walker, we're going to leave it there. Good stuff. We're going to get you back. Love your thoughts and opinions on this stuff, and we got a lot of ground to cover between now and primaries.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, Todd, for having me on. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Walker Wildman, everybody, Vice President of Operations for American Family Association. And by the way, you can read more about Walker at afa.net. I mean, he raises an interesting point because there is going to be a raging battle over whether or not Trump can be on the ballots in some of these blue states. You better believe the secretaries of states are going to be doing that. All right. Then you have to factor in these trials, and we already know that the good judge up in Washington D.C., Judge Chaka Khan, is already announcing that the trial there is going to start the day before Super Tuesday. So you better believe the Democrats are playing politics, and they're not. You know what? They're not wasting any time. They're not wasting any energy trying to cover this up. They don't want you to think it's just a coincidence. They want you to know this is all about politics, and we're going to cram it down your throat, and there's not a blasted thing you Republicans can do about it. And they know they're going to be able to get away with it because the Republicans we've got elected up on Capitol Hill, They're doodling diddly and squat, and they're doing it very well, by the way. They majored in diddly squat in political school. All right, got to take a break here, but Walker raises an interesting point. Do we need a plan B? And if so, what is that plan B? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
So you are obviously a person of color like we are.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to not be Trump supporters. So what is it about Trump?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. I was talking to my husband about it earlier. And when I really started educating myself and informing myself on Donald Trump, one thing that I'm passionate about is human trafficking, that especially of children. And when I really started digging into it, I saw that Trump also is a huge supporter. He donated recently $35 million to support human traffic survivors. Yep. That really struck a chord with my heart. And so
amazing.
When I started really looking into him, I'm about action. I'm not about words. Okay.
Yes,
I like the fact that he says what's on his mind. I like the fact that he doesn't say what he thinks people want to hear from him. And to me, I know everything that he's done for the black communities, and I stand behind him.
Beautiful.
100%. I'm not only a Trump supporter, I am a Trump lover. And for the longest time, I've been afraid to come out and say that.
Well, here we go.
Because I didn't want to lose my blackness or my black friends or whatever. But
remember what Joe Biden said, if you vote for Trump, you ain't black.
So wait, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
What an idiot.
What an idiot. It's true. So this is fascinating because we have noticed in the aftermath of the Trump mugshot heard around the world that black support for Donald Trump has exploded. And I'm curious to know why. We probably have one of the largest black audiences in all of talk radio. And I'm curious to know from our audience, why is it that Donald Trump's message is resonating with black Americans? Why is that? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, Biden forgot the name of his Homeland Security Secretary. Cut number 11.
Secretary of Homeland Security, a guy who took the job. Thank you for taking the job, pal.
Yeah, what's your name? Well, no, it's mayo mayonnaise. Alex mayonnaise. He's my homeland. I need a nap. Sir, his name is Alejandro Mayorkas. I named a Mexican to my administration? Really? Sir, no, he's an American, sir. His name is Alejandro Mayorkas. He's your Homeland Security Secretary.
Ice cream. Can I have some ice cream, please? I want some ice cream. Where's my wife? Where is she? I need a shower. Where's my daughter?
All right, good to have you back with us, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to direct your attention to our website, toddstearns.com. We have millions of readers every month on the page, and we really appreciate you guys checking out the stories. Our managing editor, Caleb Park, is working hard at it, and you need to sign up for our free newsletter as well as our podcast, which you can download both of those free of charge over at the website, toddstearns.com. All right, there is a story that caught my eye at the Daily Wire. The headline, NASCAR bans white applicants from diversity internship. At NASCAR, ladies and gentlemen, the author of this jaw-dropping story is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, the great Spencer Lindquist. Spencer, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, well, let's jump into this. So NASCAR has an internship program, but they're calling it a diversity internship program. What did you find out about this?
Exactly. So this NASCAR program is a summer internship called the Diversity Internship Program. And if you look at the program requirements, the very first one stipulates that you have to be one of several approved races. So they've got African-American, Hispanic or Latino, Asian. It effectively lists all these different racial groups other than white people. So if you are white and you want to apply for this NASCAR scholarship, this NASCAR internship, you're ineligible.
So, and just to be clear, I'm going through the list and I happen to be of the Caucasian persuasion, and someone like me would not be eligible for this program.
Exactly. You wouldn't be eligible, and you wouldn't be eligible because of your race. So I spoke with a legal scholar, a constitutional lawyer named David Bernstein at George Mason University. And he said that this is blatantly illegal. Those were his words. And he said that it violates civil rights law. So clearly we're seeing here that if somebody wanted to apply for this but couldn't, they were rejected on the basis of their race, they would actually have legal standing to sue NASCAR over this racial discrimination.
Spencer, as you were doing an investigative report on this, were you able to get a comment from NASCAR? Were they able to explain what's going on here?
Unfortunately, I wasn't. I didn't get any response from NASCAR, and hopefully we'll get a bit more clarity on it going forwards. But what we do know right now is that this diversity internship program is part of a broader push for DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion at the company. They have what they call Drive for Diversity, and that includes a couple of different race-based mentorship programs, one for people who are in pit crew and another for those who are race car drivers. And these, similarly, are only open to people who come from non-white racial backgrounds or who are women. So that, a bit more specifically, discriminates against white men.
This is shocking. We're talking about NASCAR here. It doesn't get more red, white, and blue, more patriotic than NASCAR. And I think that's what's so shocking about this. What's been the reaction? Your story came out. I'm curious to know the reaction that people have had.
Well, it's definitely made the rounds on Twitter in the last day, and I think people are shocked. We're seeing more and more of these types of cases. This is not the first DEI-related job posting story that I've written, but this one, I think, has been rather shocking to people, maybe just because this isn't an arena where people seem to expect there being this type of DEI enforcement at a place like NASCAR.
Yeah, I was, and again, to your point, this goes far beyond just the internship program. It looks like they have an entire division dedicated for this, what they call Drive for Diversity. Again, applicants have to meet these certain criteria, and the white men need not apply.
Exactly. That's what we saw in both of these development programs for pit crew and for drivers. It states it very openly, which, of course, made reporting on it rather easy, but there wasn't any coded language here. There wasn't any beating around the bush. It was very clear, very direct. It had eligibility requirements, and top of the list was racial and ethnic specifications.
Not the best person to, torque an engine, but we want somebody based on skin color or their gender.
Exactly. Wow. And NASCAR, this is just one example here at NASCAR, but we have recently seen other examples where similar diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that discriminate against people on the basis of their race. This has been found at other companies as well. We recently had an original story here at the Daily Wire that found that Oracle, the Silicon Valley tech giant, had a similar internship program. It was an internship and scholarship program, and it similarly listed these racial requirements, and it didn't allow white applicants or Asian applicants. So this is something that we're seeing at NASCAR and beyond.
Jeez, Alou. This is insane. By the way, Spencer, let me tell you when all this started. So if you do a follow-up, you got to go back in time, and you can Google this, but it was when Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame, he was invited to pray, give the invocation at a NASCAR race. And Spencer, have you ever been to a NASCAR race before?
I haven't. No.
So it's kind of like going to church. So they'll have like a big prayer, and the preacher, when the preacher prays, it's like a sermon. It's not like a little quick prayer, because it's NASCAR. So they invited Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty to pray. And all broke loose because Phil Robertson, during the prayer, prayed for a Jesus man in the White House. This was when Trump was running. And it created all this controversy. And I'm like, what in the world is going on at NASCAR that a prayer has clearly triggered people? I think that was the beginning of the end. So you can quote me on that if you're going to do a follow-up story.
Perfect. I'll keep that in mind. It's certainly interesting what we've seen with NASCAR. There's obviously been a couple of different issues throughout recent years that have thrust it into the forefront of the culture war, and this is just the latest iteration.
Oh, I see what you did there. Thrusting at the – that's a good NASCAR car turn there. Well done. Well played. All right, Spencer, we appreciate the great story. Folks, we've got a link to Spencer's story on our live show blog. Blatantly illegal NASCAR bans white applicants from diversity internship. Spencer, good work, and we'll get you back on soon.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, there you go, folks. One of the journalists over there at the Daily Wire. You know, Dieter, just think about it. We've got Ben Dieter hanging out with us again, handling the phones. Be nice to Dieter today. But Dieter, just think about this. All these diversity hires, mm-hmm. You get on board an airplane. And I mean, you hate to think like this, but you're getting on board an airplane and you take a peek in the cockpit and you see, I don't know, a Pacific Islander and a woman who used to be a man or something. I don't know. And you're wondering, okay, is that the best and the brightest, or are those diversity hires?
It's a terrible thing to think.
Right.
But we're all thinking it. Aren't you thinking it? I mean, you, Todd, you've said on your show you have lawyers. What if you hire another lawyer, they join the Todd Starnes defense team? I don't know if you need one.
What?
And that lawyer is a diversity hire. The law firm picks them up because they check the right boxes, and say you end up in front of a judge. You better hope that wasn't a diversity hire lawyer. You're going to be behind bars.
I want Johnny Cochran, the late great Johnny Cochran on my team. If the glove don't fit, you got to acquit. That's who I want.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want the best. You want the most talented, the most capable person, right?
And it could be the Pacific Islander. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just saying it could be. Are you a Pacific Islander?
No.
You're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. No, it's the tan.
Oh, well, Well, you could identify.
That's right.
See, you could self-identify.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that this is not good. And look, nothing against the ladies out there, but if you're on the pit crew and you got to pick up one of those big old tires, I mean, you know, there's. I'm just saying.
First of all, I didn't know you could intern. And Todd, you have some interns. Who knew you could intern at NASCAR? Well, not you, because you're white. But, like, they do have NASCAR interns.
I got to ride in the pace car at the Daytona 500. So that was a lot of fun, actually. It'll scare you half to death, but it's a lot of fun.
And I would never get in there.
So there you go. But again, like you're on the table, you're in for open heart surgery, and right before they tell you to breathe in and count backwards from 100, and the doctor leans over and says, "Oh yeah, I flunked out of medical school, but I got a job because, you know, I'm I don't know, French."
You're I don't like, think the what? French are getting preferential treatment, Todd.
No, I'm trying to behave because I got some blowback from our Italian listeners yesterday.
Oh, I know. I talked to one of them.
It's terrible. I felt so bad.
I know. I picked up the phone. Wait, you can't say that. Anyways, we
I'm just saying the Italians like to take the very long lunches, right? It's never. I see. I'm stepping into it again.
All right, circle back. No, I get what you're saying. When the doctor's getting ready to tear open your chest to dig into your heart, you don't want them to have got in because they were just a certain hue.
Yeah, I don't want him asking for the turkey baster, right? You want the surgeon to know what they're doing. That's all. They're going to pop you open like a Thanksgiving Day turkey. You want somebody who knows what they're doing. At least that's the way it used to be in America. I'm just saying. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Can you believe this? NASCAR now banning white applicants. What does that say for all of you white people out there? You're not going to. Here's my question, Ben Dieter. I have another question. Does this mean, in an effort, again, for inclusivity and for diversity, what about the NBA? Are they going to start banning blacks from interning at the NBA headquarters now? Are they gonna open up the floodgates to white people so they can go and become a member of the NBA?
I don't know.
Just throwing that out there.
It's a great question.
Because again, I don't care about race. All I care about is fielding the best basketball team possible. And so if you're in the big fan of the Memphis Grizzlies, you want the best players out there. It doesn't matter what color they are, right? Right? Isn't that what I don't know. Maybe
be
I'm
careful,
off.
Be careful, Todd. Your listeners know you identify as LeBron Starnes from time to time.
That's right.
This is your way in.
I'd be one heck of a point guard.
Gosh.
All right. That's okay. That was over the line. 844-747-8868. You know, Newsmax is conducting an urgent national poll. Did I tell you it's urgent? It's urgent. We want to know, do you like President Trump? Are you still voting for President Trump? We want you to vote right now in the Newsmax poll by texting the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Just takes a minute. Let your voice be heard. Text SKIP to 39747. By the way, we're going to share the results with Congress. We're going to share it on Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Millions of people are making the switch to Newsmax, and you should too. And you can vote now. Text SKIP to 39747. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Quite frankly, what NASCAR needs to do is tell all these little woke people they're hiring to go blow it out their tailpipe. That's what they ought to tell them. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa. Welcome to the program. Jerry, what's on your mind?
I like your Sheryl Crow bumper. That's a neat song. So I'm calling to answer your question about what might be Plan B if the Democrats tie up Donald Trump, or if they steal the White House for another 4 years. Ron DeSantis was here in Iowa at a pizza ranch a couple days ago, and I got to ask him a question, a little bit indelicate question. I asked him if he thought that the Democrats are currently planning their next hoax as we speak, maybe civil unrest or maybe even a civil war, and we're not thinking as far ahead as they are. So, because if they win or steal another election, you know there's going to be mass arrests. I've briefly attended a Marxist revolution. I was in country when it happened, and they'll start from the top down, and they'll go all the way down. And so I think Plan B is, and his answer was interesting, but my Plan B is, I think red states really need to double down on the 10th Amendment like never before. Like, just have, if the federal government starts issuing all sorts of really tyrannical stuff, we need to just, there is a great 10th Amendment movement in the states, by the way. So I think that the Plan B is really the 10th Amendment. Otherwise, there's just going to be, they're going to clear out everybody. I mean, you wouldn't be safe, you know? So they're going to try to silence everybody if that happens. So, and by the way, I'm, to answer your poll question, I'm a little bit nervous here.
No need to be nervous. You're doing
fine. I do love the Donald, and I would certainly vote for him, but I am going to caucus for Ron DeSantis in Iowa because he's an Iraq combat veteran. And his answer to my question was that if the Democrats plan anything like more civil unrest or worse, that his answer was basically, go ahead, make my day.
I'm curious, Jerry, what part of the 10th Amendment do you believe we need to be invoking?
The whole fundamental principle of it, the whole idea that the powers not specifically delegated to the federal government are originally rest in the state. So the government, the deep state has gone such far overreach that the social contract is really being broken bad, and the states are just going to have to say, and they already have the power, they just don't know it, that we're just not going to do all the kind of stuff you tell us to do, and we're going to pretty much function on our own and associate with other red states.
You see, I'm not even sure you would have states like Georgia, which are controlled by Republicans. There's no way they would do something like that. Even here in Tennessee, which we have a supermajority of Republicans, I don't even think our governor would be willing to go that far. But my concern is this, though, Jerry, you could have states that will say, well, look, Trump is a convicted criminal. He will not be allowed to be on the ballot. We have rules and regulations, and there's going to be an effort. There will be a movement afoot to try and keep him off the ballot. And that's when I think you're going to have a lot of blowback, and they better think very long and hard about that.
Yeah, well, it can get a lot worse. You think it's bad now. So I just think we need to start functioning on our own a lot better than we have been in the past.
All right, Jerry, good call. I appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling in and weighing in. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. I think all bets are off when you get to a point where the states are saying, we're not going to allow your guy on the ballot. Republicans have to stand up, and they've got to fight. They have to stand their ground on that issue. You cannot allow the Beltway to determine who your candidate's going to be, who your nominee's going to be. If Donald Trump is the guy, he's the guy. If Ron DeSantis is the guy, he's the guy. That's all I'm saying here. But I don't think DeSantis is going to be the guy. I don't think he can be the guy. He's got no support out there. Let me ask you something. All you Trump supporters, would you vote for Ron DeSantis? Trump decides, you know what, that's it, I'm gone, I'm done. I've done everything I can possibly do. Is DeSantis your guy? Or is it somebody else? That's what I want to know. All right, we got to take a break here. Again, head over to the website, toddstearns.com. And folks, trust me, you're going to love our podcast. You're going to love our newsletter. We even have an awesome app. And you can actually use that app to phone into the program. It's pretty awesome. Go check that out. Everything available over at toddstearns.com. Hey, Congressman Jim Jordan coming up next.